stand by. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Introduction to WebSphere Transaction Processing for the Mainframe. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. This teleconference will demonstrate how IBM WebSphere and CICS solutions enable you to leverage and expose core mainframe assets to address new business needs. The teleconference will be hosted by Snehal Antani, IBM WebSphere Services. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to our speaker. Snehal, please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Snehal Antani, and I'm from WebSphere Services at IBM. I'm here to speak today about transaction processing on the mainframe, primarily as an introduction to WebSphere and WebSphere XD on ZOS. We'll start off the presentation covering some topics of interest. First, why is transaction processing interesting, and especially on the mainframe? First topic of interest, of course, is eliminate server sprawl by consolidating and simplifying using the app server on ZOS. Second is centralizing reuse enterprise applications for batch access and online transaction access using WebSphere extended deployment on ZOS. And the third is supporting web services that enable core assets such as Kix transactions to use as services within the Kix transaction server. So slide three is just a description of how WebSphere application server from ZOS fits within the WebSphere offering. First, at the bottom leftmost, WebSphere application server community edition. As we shift to the right of this graph and up, our capabilities increase with each product along with our customer requirements. That's what we need. Then next, we have the App Server Express, and then WebSphere Application Server. Then we have Network Deployment, and finally, WebSphere Application Server for ZOS, which enables high transaction volumes, high availability, clustering, advanced web services, and optimized resource utilization. So moving on to slide four, what we'll cover are the technical business problems that WebSphere and the mainframe are addressing. First is server sprawl, which can result in complicated IT infrastructure. Second is the inability to effectively track costs associated with distributed server environments. Third is workloads not meeting or in danger of missing service level agreements, spiraling costs associated with maintaining and managing existing IT environments, potential security loopholes, and finally significant investments in existing core business environments. Moving on to slide five, this is a description of the enterprise data access with multiple physical tiers versus a single physical tier. So on the left, we can see Linux, Windows, and Unix WebSphere application server environment running on a distributed piece of hardware, and that will connect to the mainframe, to DB2 running on the mainframe, to Kix running on the mainframe, or to the application server running on the mainframe. And we've got complexities that exist in here, such as network management. How do you connect these two distinct boxes? The overhead of the TCP/IP stack, security, how do you secure the connections, so on and so forth. On the right, we have the same topology that exists exclusively in the mainframe, with the application server directly accessing DB2, Kix, IMS, and other resources that were other available on the mainframe. So the advantage is here is that we are all on a single box. There's no network management that we have to explicitly manage. There's no overhead of TCP/IP stack. The interactions among these resources is optimized using shared memory and things to that effect. Moving on to slide six, simplifying the management and security with single tier. We're reducing the number of physical tiers and operating system instances, reducing the overall management costs. These reduced management costs result from reducing the variation in platform skills required, the number of support staff, and the physical footprint of the server. Unlike other platforms, which are generally dedicated to a single task, such as data serving, per operating system instance, ZOS can easily scale and manage application servers, database servers, security servers, and messaging servers within a single operating system instance. ZOS can scale both vertically and horizontally through the proven clustering technology of Parallel Sysplex, which enables the operating system and database instances to have a single image while providing unparalleled capacity to execute the most demanding application workloads. Moving on to slide seven, adding speed and resiliency with single tier. By consolidating tiers, transaction latency related to network transmission and network formatting can be avoided. ZOS and its program products provide high-speed and efficient native ZOS interfaces, including shared memory areas. Additionally, the ZOS server provides infrastructure for two-phase commit coordination, which reduces the number of required interactions between resources and two-phase commit transactions. With fewer physical tiers and operating system instances to enable for high availability. ZOS reduces the cost of building a rock-solid infrastructure to execute your critical applications. Reducing the number of physical tiers reduces the complexity of building a high-availability environment and reduces the amount of testing and setup required. ZOS is able to accomplish this through parallel systems technology, which can cluster multiple operating systems and hardware images into a single logical operating system. Moving on to slide 8. To understand what makes WebShare ZOS architecture so interesting is, so why is it high available and why is it scalable? And then next we'll go on to talk about WebShare for ZOS topologies. Moving on to slide 9. Typical middleware architecture is comprised of a single process. So the application server runs as a single process. Data exceptions that stem from the application server can terminate the entire server process, losing client connections, losing in-flight transactions, so on and so forth. And in order to scale this type of environment, we would have to start multiple server processes. Many aspects of these processes could reside as singletons within the entire server environment. Instead, we have to start these multiple processes, and we introduce overhead of components that we don't need to duplicate necessarily. Termination of a server process leads to unavailability of the application unless the application is clustered. This is very important to note when compared to the ZOS application server's architecture. Moving on to slide 10. The WebShare for ZOS server architecture is comprised of multi-process architecture. Only authorized robust system code is executed within this controller process. This controller process, through workload management, manages one or more servant processes where the application code is actually executed. These servant processes theoretically are exact clones of each other. They can be terminated without interrupting the overall end-user experience, and they can be dynamically created or stopped based on workload management. These decisions can be based on user-defined service policies. Moving on to slide 11. Why is WebShare on ZOS reliable? As mentioned, if an application code incurs some fatal exception, the servant process will be terminated, and this picture will describe just that. Moving on to slide 12. Why is WebShare on ZOS scalable? Within WebShare ZOS application server, one can define a minimum and maximum number of servant processes that are allowed. As workload increases, workload management can detect the servant processes are not able to keep up with the work, which is identified by service policies defined by the system administrator. If the maximum number of servants hasn't been hit yet, workload management can start a new servant process to handle the additional load. As that load slows down, workload management can terminate this servant process to be sure that we're not underutilizing our other servants that are available to us. Moving on to slide 13. WebShare and ZOS basic high availability topology. In order to provide a true high availability server, the controller process would be clustered. If the controller process fails, the Sysflex distributor would route work to the other controller process. The other controller process that has failed would be recovered using the ARM mechanism, for example, that's available on ZOS. Moving on to slide 14. WebShare and ZOS topologies. This diagram depicts WebShare and ZOS interactions with an enterprise information system or database. As we can see, we have many inputs to the enterprise infrastructure and to the application server. We can do HTML and Java applets over HTTP, which will be served by the web container. We have net applications or Java applications, which can interact over SOAP, IOP, or sockets, all into the application server. Outbound from the application server, we can go to enterprise assets using JCA connectors, JDBC drivers to the database using SOAP, JMS, etc. Moving on to slide 15. Some more WebShare on ZOS topologies. Connecting the application server remotely to some enterprise information system or database is also possible. In this situation, the database exists on another ZOS LPAR. You can see the application server results on the top LPAR, and that can remotely, via TCP/IP, connect to the connector existing on the second LPAR and then connect to the actual enterprise information system or the database. Moving on to slide 16. An alternative method of connecting the application server to the enterprise information system or database is to keep those enterprise systems or databases local to the LPAR. And then you can use clustering technology and Sysflex distributor to ensure high availability of the application server and its data. So in this case, we cloned the LPAR and made them highly available by using a similar basic high availability topology described before with the controller process. One thing to note is you can use memory-to-memory communication via type 2 drivers for example, with databases to get even more optimized communication with the database or information system. Moving on to slide 17. Now we'll move into WebSphere Extended Deployment. WebSphere Extended Deployment is an extension product to the application server. It extends a WebSphere ND environment and provides runtime quality of service as well as new programming models that can provide more optimized use of resources and so on. Moving on to slide 18. WebSphere XD environment enables flexibility by providing environments such as the WebSphere batch environment. The XD batch container supports J2E-based applications. These applications allow for asynchronous access to enterprise business applications hosted in WebSphere. They have available to them all J2E resources, such as transactions, security, high availability, and so on, that WebSphere provides. The XD batch container provides services such as checkpointing, the ability to resume batch work at some selected interval, result processing, the ability to intercept step and job return codes, and subsequently process them using any J2E facility, such as web services, JMS messages, and so on, as well as batch data stream management, the ability to handle reading, positioning, and repositioning data streams to files, relational databases, native ZOS datasets, and many other input and output sources. The picture describes an XD batch end-to-end flow. The user operations submits an XJCL, which is the XML-based meta language describing the work to be done, going to a scheduler. The scheduler is then scheduling this work to execution environments which reside within the WebSphere environment, on the WebSphere application server. Slide 19, intelligence. WebSphere Extended Deployment for ZOS provides intelligence for application servers to share information and workloads. This instance consists of the on-demand router, which is an intelligent proxy for workload routing, health policies, proactively seek software maladies such as hung servers, excessive memory consumption, storm drain, and addresses them based on policies defined by the system administrator. Service policies enable granular classification in application workloads, which is addressed within the on-demand router. Values compounded by ZOS workload management, which manages the XD application workloads as well as E-Series workloads. Moving on to slide 20, performance. WebSphere XD delivers two technologies to help improve performance, the partitioning facility and the object grid. First, the partitioning facility allows exploiters to define some affinity between their application workload and specific nodes within their cell. For example, by adding a simple session bean to a J2E application, the object grid can route work that falls between some range. For example, records whose last names fall between A and F to node 1, work with records that fall between F and M to node 2, and so on. This type of work partitioning can provide more efficient use of the WebSphere caches, as well as the potential to partition the database itself. Another feature, Object Grid, is a new WebSphere XD technology that provides a high-performance, transactional cache framework for storing Java objects. The Object Grid can be used as a generic object cache and optionally persisted to a hardened store. It can be in the same fashion also be used as a local cache for objects stored in the database. Object Grid is a highly customizable feature with interfaces provided for custom data loaders, invalidation, and size management schemes, and more. Moving on to slide 21, manageability. WebSphere XD on ZOS provides application edition management, which enables the continuous availability of applications. It also provides visualization, which is customizable real-time chart displays, and display the success of your application. Runtime maps enable at-a-glance assessments, and, of course, application lazy start, which is deactivated applications are lazily started when requests come in. Moving on to slide 22, which is an example or an overview of WebSphere XD's dynamic operations. Dynamics Operations Overview, slide 23. Dynamic Operations features of WebSphere XD give you the capability to build a dynamic, virtualized, goal-oriented environment, workload management. Two major features that enable these capabilities are Dynamic Application Placement and the On-Demand Router. Dynamic Application Placement enables starting and stopping additional server instances to accommodate changes in the load, balancing processing power among your applications to best meet your defined performance goals. The On-Demand Router is an intelligent HTTP proxy server that manages request prioritization, flow control, and dynamic routing of requests to your application servers. Slide 24, an example of an overflow LPAR. In this example, your organization has many departments, and they each have several applications they run on their department's WebSphere server in a central complex. For administrative purposes, these departments don't share servers, but rather maintain their own through central IT group. As the overall administrator, you have three LPARs configured, LPAR A, B, and C. A and B are the primary LPARs for satisfying requests for all departments. On occasion, one or more servers exceed the capacity available on the LPAR. To handle this overflow, you've configured an LParC as a spare. Because this spare resides on a machine that's primarily used for other purposes, it has a limited amount of memory and can only have a few servers. 525. This picture represents normal configuration. When the on-demand router starts up, it detects LParC does not have as much memory or as computing processing power allocated to it as the other two LPARs. Here, LPAR A and LPAR B have servers running for all three departments, and these servers are handling the entire offered workload. As the workload for Department 2 begins to increase and the running servers can no longer satisfy the pre-configured goals, the on-demand router determines that LPARC has spare bandwidth available. Moving on to slide 26. Here, the automatic placement facility in the on-demand router has started Department 2 server on LPARC and is routing work to the new server in addition to the two existing servers. Later on, the offered load for Department 2 servers decreased, the offered loads for Department 1 increases. The on-demand router will detect the change and reconfigure the dynamic cluster. Moving on to slide 27. Here, the third server for Department 2 has been stopped. The new server for Department 1 has been started on LPARC. This dynamically accommodates the decrease in Department 2's offered load and the increase in Department 1's offered load. Now, assume Department 3's offered load increase and the two Department 3 servers cannot satisfy its goals. Now, the on-demand router examines the LPARs and determines that LPARC does not have enough memory resource to start another server. It does not start another server. The dynamic behavior of the on-demand router is to maximize the resources available. Moving on to slide 28. By taking advantage of differing peak times and application load, hardware can be utilized much more efficiently in a dynamic operations environment, resulting in lower overall hardware costs. The dynamic operations environment also helps ensure consistent quality of service for your application. With response time goals defined by the user, LedCertSeq can allocate hardware resources to help ensure that applications meet their defined goals, allowing the most important requests to perform better than less important requests when there is a contention for resource. Slide 29. What is horizontal scaling and vertical scaling? Just to have a clear understanding of this terminology. A vertical cluster is the clustering of servers within a ZOSL part, whereas horizontal clustering is clustering servers across LPARs. So with a vertical cluster alone, if the LPAR fails, you've lost both servers, and essentially you've lost your cluster. And with horizontal clustering, you share the application servers across the LPARs, such that if a single LPAR fails, the other LPAR is able to recover the work. WebSphere XD provides both vertical and horizontal clustering. Moving on to slide 30. This is a fairly complex WebSphere XD ZOS topology, in which we have dynamic clusters defined with 24/7 batch environment as well. This is kind of a more realistic environment of WebSphere XD on ZOS. So here we have three node groups. The node group is a logical collection of nodes within the environment. And on each node group, you can define dynamic clusters. Dynamic clusters are similar to servants in that they can be dynamically started or stopped based on some controller process, which in this case is the on-demand router. Just like in servants, you can specify a minimum number of dynamic clusters to start and a maximum number in which you can exceed. In this case, we have a minimum dynamic clusters that are started of 2, where AppServer 1 and AppServer 4 are members of dynamic cluster 1. AppServer 2 and 5 are members of dynamic cluster 2, etc. Here, AppServer 7, for example, is also a member of dynamic cluster 1, but it isn't started. So our dynamic cluster 1 maximum is 3, minimum is 2. So as workload increases, for example, we have this spillover LPAR available to us, where application server 7 would start up and take any extra load that's taking place within that dynamic cluster. In addition, rather than have the application service 7, 8, and 9, which are in the spillover, not be started at all, we can use those servers as part of our batch environment, for example, and ensure 24/7 batch capabilities, where while those servers aren't being used, the long-running scheduler can allocate work to them. And as the on-demand router determines that the application server is needed to handle the work for Dynamic Cluster 1, it can swap off the batch job that's executing and swap on the work that needs to be executed to handle the overflow. Moving on to slide 31. WebSphere Partitioning Facility is another technology that's offered by WebSphere XD. With the partitioning facility, we essentially establish affinity between the workload and the service to which they're executed on. This affinity creates a single logical cache that spans both servers. Cache entries will not be duplicated across the two servers. The on-demand router, in conjunction with the partitioning facility and the suspect distributor, handle failover just as failover is handled in today's cluster environments. So with the partitioning facility, we save in the following areas. We have fewer cache misses because we've effectively doubled our cache size without having to add any resources when compared to the standard clustered environment. Data isn't duplicated in memory among multiple servers with partitioning, and by partitioning the workload such that Bank A server on LPAR 1 is only handling the gold customers, for example. Bank A server 2, which is running on the second LPAR, is handling the regular customer's workload. A gold customer can't be both a gold and a regular, and so the caches within Bank A servers will only have populated in them the most frequent gold customers accessing the data, and likewise for the regular customers within the second bank server. Another advantage is near linear scalability. As customer accounts grow and more servers are required, since we're not duplicating the cache entries, we're allowing near linear scalability. Slide 32. In this partitioning example, how is failover exactly handled? In the case of failure, two mechanisms within this environment could detect and take action. First, if the LPAR fails, in this case LPAR 1B, the suspect distributor won't route work to the failed LPAR. Instead, work is routed to LPAR 1A. In addition, the on-demand router for LPAR 1A will detect that the server on LPAR 1B has failed. The partition routing will temporarily be suspended, and all work will be routed to the server on LPAR 1A, just as it would in a normal clustered environment. Since we qualify requests, for example, or we could qualify exists with transaction classes, workload management could hold true any service policies that you specify for gold customers and regular customers. Moving on to slide 33. What's your XD on ZOS business grid summary? So the XD batch container supports J2E-based batch applications. These applications allow for batch access or asynchronous access to enterprise applications hosted within the application server. And just as mentioned before, these batch applications have available to them transactions, security, high availability, and so on. The features of the XD batch container include checkpointing, result processing, and batch data stream management. Moving on to slide 34. An example of a J2E-based batch application for the business grid is this idea of having a financial calculator. And this financial calculator is a J2E application deployed in WebSphere. And this calculator is used by other financial applications such as retirement modeling, student loan modeling, et cetera. In addition, we want to run credit rating scores or interest calculations. And this type of work is done at the end of the month, for example, and then normally done by batch processing. So here we want to reuse our financial calculator, though. We don't want to have to copy this code or duplicate this code in different environments, whether it be native batch or J2E batch. We want to have asynchronous access to that financial calculator. So slide 35. Example batch task here is to calculate interest. So what does it take to actually do this? Well, first we have to collect the account data that has to be processed, submit the account information for processing to the batch system, make calculations such as interest, and then update the account. So how do we ensure this as well, while ensuring data integrity for each account? How can we build an architecture that allows us not only to have a single set of calculation applications, which can be shared by user applications in the system? Moving on to slide 36. So how is this business problem solved with XD? So here, it's a fairly complex diagram. So we'll start with the COLA application on the bottom. Here, all the client data resides within an IMS database. This IMS database has written for it COBOL data reader applications and data writer application. So what we do is when we have to execute our batch job within XD, we'll first build a list of all the records that have to be processed asynchronously. So the COBOL data reader, for example, will populate an MVS data set with all the records that have to be processed. And once this data set's been comprised or built up, we can then submit it to XD. And within XD, we've defined a batch bean. This batch bean uses batch data streams based on JSOS technology, for example, which is able to convert EBCDIC data within the data set directly to job objects. These job objects are passed to the core business logic bean, which is our financial calculator in this case. And it'll cycle through for each record in the MVS data set until all processing has been completed. Now, for example, we have transaction checkpointing based on X amount of records or N amount of records that have been completed. So, for example, for every 100 records, we'll checkpoint and save our state and ensure that we know where we are in our input data set, our output data set, commit all the transactions involved in this checkpoint frequency, and then continue on, so that in case of failure or in case we have to be swapped off for higher priority work, we're able to continue where we left off. So in this case, the batch mean is going to write out the output of each calculation to an output MBS data set. Once all the batch processing has been completed, our COBOL-based data writer can read this entire data set and update the INF database. So slide 37 is a XD topology using batch. So here we have two node groups spanning two LPARs and a dynamic cluster for each node group. So one thing to note is our long-running scheduler is a singleton object. We can only have one scheduler per WebSphere cell. So here, as a user submits a batch command using the lrcmd.sh, you can come in through the scheduler, and the scheduler will then hit the batch job to any of the long-running execution environments it deems the better LRE environment to execute your work on. So in this situation, there's no on-demand router, so the customer won't have continuous availability of the batch application. In case the long-running scheduler goes down, the on-demand router, for example, as shown in slide 38, would actually queue up requests while the long-running scheduler is starting. And once the long-running scheduler has been started up on the second node, in this case node 2, whatever is in the on-demand router queue will be flushed to that scheduler and then to the end user. There's no interruption of service. So moving on to slide 39, we'll speak briefly about KIC Transaction Server and the ability to now use web services to invoke KIC transactions. We can see the points here of security improvements within this KIC Transaction Server, performance improvements, there's new and improved web services support, SIP support, and admin and usability enhancements. Moving on to slide 40. Web services capabilities enable KIC's assets to directly participate in service-oriented architecture. As a web service provider and requester, you provide a rich set of web service standards supported, and also HTTP and WebSphere MQ network layers are supported. So finally, some more information on the material discussed in here. There are several IBM Red Books, WebSphere for ZOS connectivity architecture choices, the field architecting e-businesses, the KICs, architecting high availability using WebSphere v6 on ZOS, and WebSphere for ZOS extended deployment and building basic infrastructure. There's also a developer's works article that will be available soon, solving business problems with WebSphere XD using XD's long-running execution model to asynchronously access enterprise applications deployed in WebSphere. That brings the presentation to an end. Open for questions.
Just before we move on to taking your questions, we'd like to get some feedback from you in the form of a brief survey. Use your telephone keypad to respond to our survey questions. If you would, please press the star key followed by the digit that corresponds to your choice. First, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if your level of satisfaction was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment. Next, was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference at the right level? Press star 1. Not technical enough? Press star 2. Or if it was more technical than you needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause. For question number 3, are you currently running WebSphere Application Server? If your answer is yes on mainframe only, press star 1. If it's yes on distributed only, press star 2. If yes on both mainframe and distributed, press star 3. Or if your answer is no, not at all, press star 4. We'll continue with our last question in just a moment. Finally, we hope you've enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If your answer is yes, press star 1, or if your answer is no, press star 2. Well, thanks again for your participation in the survey. We'd now like to move on to taking questions from you. And again, we'll ask you to use your telephone keypad to indicate that you have a question. Press star 1 on your phone if you have any questions at this time. Again, it's star 1 on your telephone. If you would, please make sure that your mute button is not engaged before you signal. So once again, press star 1 for any questions, and we'll pause for just a moment to assemble the roster. First up, we have a question from Mike Killalea at Cigna.
Hi, this is Mike Killalea. I was intrigued by the tight integration with RACF for security purposes. If you're running WebSphere in the distributed space, you would typically have some external security manager like typically Access Manager for eBusiness governing your security semantics. There was no mention of front-end security architecture in this presentation. I was wondering if you were to migrate from distributed to WebSphere for ZOS, what would be the best way of applying an infrastructure for front-end security, like that would be analogous to what WebSeal does for you in a Tivoli Access Manager for your business environment?
Okay, I can try to answer that, but I'm not the security expert. We do have Tivoli Access Manager available on WebSphere for ZOS, and so from what my understanding, there is a migration path to do that, the specifics of which, though, I can't really speak to. If you send me a question via note, I could chase that down for you.
Okay, sure. I'd like to do that.
We'll move on now, if you're ready, to Anne-Marie Bartholomew, also with Cigna.
Good morning. I'm new to WebSphere, especially on ZOS, and I'm looking at slide number 5, Enterprise Data Access with Multiple Physical Tiers versus a Single Physical Tier, and obviously it's the ZOS side of the house I'm looking at. I see the KIX connectors as opposed to the CTG itself, and I just don't understand the comment that's in parentheses that says TG license only, process not active. Could you explain what that means?
That's a good question as well. Transaction gateway license only, process not active. To be quite honest, I don't know what that means.
Well, that's okay. I can try and research it some more. I just figured you were probably trying to get a lot of words in a little box, so that's
right.
Okay. No problem.
Next up is Mei-Hui Chen at Bank of America.
Yes, I'm brand new to the WebSphere. I had a question about your page 19, talking about on-demand router that is a critical front-end to allow those dynamic stuff. Is that ODR itself is part of the WebSphere, or is it actually outside of the WebSphere?
The on-demand router is a component that's shipped with WebSphere XD. There are topologies that allow you to deploy the on-demand router within the Sysplex or outside of the Sysplex. However, it's recommended, or it's preferred at least, that the on-demand router reside within the Sysplex on an LPAR itself. Because the on-demand router does quite a bit of polling and data collection among each of the members, each of the dynamic clusters and other XD components. And so it's just a lot more optimized to keep that within your Sysplex on an LPAR itself.
So in that case, it's very close to tie with the TCP/IP stack outside of the WebSphere?
Yes, it can be. The on-demand router can also basically be a web server with XD functionality tied into it. So it can serve static pages for you, for example. And at the same time, it can also allow or provide the XD quality of service that I've mentioned. So it is involved with the TCP/IP stack, for example.
But within the mainframe?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We'll go back to Mike Killalea.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about HTTP session management on WebSphere for ZOS. In a distributed space, you would use either memory-to-memory session persistence or database session persistence to ensure that session information was available user session information was available in the event of a failover situation. I'm assuming that WebSphere for ZOS would have similar such capabilities, but I was wondering if WebSphere for ZOS offered any any additional advantages in the session management space?
So WebSphere for Z absolutely has session-to-session replication and session management, as you mentioned, similar to distributed. There are aspects of it that are optimized for the Z platform, the details of which I'm not sure how much detail we want to go into over a call like this, but there are platform optimizations in there as well. And so there are you do have some advantages over what you'd have in a distributed environment.
Okay, and because of the just as a follow-up, because of the great reliability record of processes running on ZOS, is the need for session safeguarding using those types of mechanisms that we mentioned considered to be reduced to a significant degree?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by session safeguarding, for example.
Well, session safeguarding a user session in a failover situation, whatever we would, the situation that we would use memory-to-memory session persistence or database session persistence on. I'm wondering, there's a lot of emphasis on that in the distributed space and in the mid-range space because, there's less reliability on that platform. And I'm wondering whether or not when we move applications to a ZOS-oriented platform, whether or not those concerns are reduced to the point where that type of session replication becomes unimportant.
So one of the pieces with session replication that makes it interesting on Z is the fact that we have this controller-servant model. So what happens is your session data is available to you across each of the servants and across when you've clustered your applications across each of the clusters. And so you've got this higher available, better failover scenario in that if you need to recover work, you're able to recover it within the application server across the servant architecture and across application servers using clustering technology.
Yeah, that's actually where I was driving at. It seemed that, the Sysplex distributor, I think it's called, I'm not a mainframe person, I guess it was Sysplex distributor or workload distributor, because he has these servant clones, it seems to me that the older methods of session safeguarding that we just mentioned would be obsolete. So we wouldn't have that. My point is, I'm guessing that we wouldn't have to worry about that because of those same capabilities, actually even more reliably that ZOS provides natively.
I think you're on the right track there. The facilities that are available to you on the mainframe can help to get rid of some of the added complexities you need in the distributed environment.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Thanks very much.
And we'll go back to Anne-Marie.
Cigna's having a good time this morning. I am looking at page 16, the WebSphere ZOS topologies, and I would just like a little clarification of that cute little dotted box that says connection address space. This might just be because of my lack of understanding about how WebSphere works.
Okay. So I can answer this. Connection address space, meaning you've got technologies such as CB2 Connect, IMS Connect, and so on, which is a level of abstraction or a layer between the actual end enterprise system or database and the actual application server.
Gotcha.
So that's what that box represents.
Okay. I thought this was like some magic little thing, like you're going to tell me, ooh, you have to write that part. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Again, just a reminder that if you have any questions, press star 1 now, please. And we'll go to our next question. This is Jim Haley from Lowe's.
Yes, hi. This is Jim Haley from Lowe's. Apologize I joined the conference late, but my question is very basic. Is XD a separate licensed product?
Yes, XD is a separate licensed product.
Okay.
That essentially is added right into your ND app server environment.
Okay, because we're currently running WAS on ZOS in production, so.
Okay.
So this is just additional features this product provides.
Correct.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Next up is Rick Phillips.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm with California Franchise Tax Board, and I was just wondering what the significance or advantage of the slides 39 and 40 talking about SOA for KICS technologies has to do with Webster application server.
The point of those last two slides was to say that now with KICS Transaction Server 3.1, you have the ability to wrap your KICS transactions in web services. So once you're able to wrap your transactions in web services, you're now able to take that web service and apply them into the WebSphere environment, or the WebSphere runtime. And then you immediately enable the various WebSphere functions that I've listed, or quality of service and so on and so forth. So it's just a matter of showing that you can take a KICS transaction and wrap them in web services technology and then have available to them these other features.
Rick, anything further?
So how are these KICS web services actually called from WebSphere application server? What's the mechanism there?
There are two ways to call it, and it depends on your topology and some workload characteristics, but web services is essentially a servlet-based technology, just as you would interact with a servlet. And so from WebSphere, you can directly invoke the web service just as you would a servlet on another, or just as your normal interaction with a servlet, for example. You have another method of connecting via JCA connector, which if there's local optimization opportunities, you can use JCA and a local optimizer to get a little more streamlined interaction with your KICS work.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mei-Wei Chen.
Yes, on the page 21, manageability of the WebSphere, to what extent those can be managed? Are you managed it from the resource perspective, or did you get into the application itself, and how granular is there?
The management is at the application layer, at the application level, and that's the granularity at this point.
Okay, and did you continue to have like the SMF record cutting everything such that we can look at performance, measure or model what the resource be used and forecast it sometime
sure.
there in the future?
The way to think of, this is part of the XE set of slides here, the SMF records and features like that are within the application server itself. XD essentially behaves at a level above the application server, and so it doesn't affect or influence or have any tightly coupled relationship with SMF records, those intra-server features. And so, yeah, you would have SMF records available to you, just as you would normally expect. Your application is running within the server.
But you don't have any collection of the data to be used for performance management at application level at all at this moment? Is that what your answer?
No, I'm sorry. So when you say SMF records, I understand that to be SMF records for the application itself. For example, before your application is invoked, if you have an EJP, for example, a pre-invoke SMF record would get cut and a post-invoke SMF record would get cut. At that level, the SMF records are exactly what you expect to see today. There are no direct SMF records that are cut by XD that'll say, I'm now starting your application on XYZ server. So within the application server itself, we have SMF records, and that's just as we have today in other versions of WebSphere.
And so, therefore, in another means that if we need a data for those online real-time display, how we get, is the XD provide that capability?
Yes. So
okay.
XD provides other forms, other records that can be cut. It's very tightly integrated with Tivoli products, for example, but not SMF records.
Okay, thank you.
With that, there appear to be no further questions in the queue, so I will turn things back over to our host for today, Snehal Antani.
Well, thanks for your time, and please get in touch with me if you have any further questions on any of the technologies or products described here. And again, I appreciate you taking your time to listen to this presentation.
So thanks again, everyone, for joining us. That will conclude today's presentation. Have a good day.